It's very good for us to have another opportunity for us to study the Word of God together. And Brother Samuel, I did not mention to him what the subject was tonight, but he prayed about it. So we do have somebody coordinating what we do up above, and that's always a good thing. Our lesson or study point tonight is seeking understanding. So as Brother Samuel had prayed earlier, we do need to seek for more of that understanding and wisdom and knowledge from God. And there's a lot that God's Word teaches about that and about our seeking for His understanding. We want to begin tonight reading together from the book of Proverbs, and we'll, Lord willing, spend much of our time tonight, or a lot of it, studying some scriptures from the book of Proverbs. There's a lot in the book of Proverbs about understanding and wisdom, as we would expect. That really is the focus of that particular book. So we find much to learn from the book of Proverbs about seeking God's wisdom and understanding. We want to study now from chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, Proverbs 4, 1 through 9. He says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake you not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." Now, for us to pause there for just a moment, who is the one that God is speaking His word through here? The human agent. And, of course, the inspired spokesman here is King Solomon, who himself is a father. He had many children. But he's now speaking also about being the son of his father and of his mother, and what he was taught as a youth from his childhood. And when we look at that, who was Solomon's father? Of course, that is David, the man that was after God's own heart. So though we're reading from what God had revealed here through Solomon, how much of that is connected to David, Solomon's father? And that connection is made very clear right here. So he says, "I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me." So what did David teach his son Solomon? If we're wanting some guidance about, well, if we have children to teach, what do we teach them? Well, we can't do better than this. And David taught his son Solomon. He says, "He said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." Now, where in these words do we see Solomon saying, my father taught me, here's how you seize power as king when it's your day, and here's what to do to rule and keep and preserve your power as king, and here's how you go out to and war, and here's how you gain much wealth? Is there any of that there? No. What was David's concern for his son that he was bringing up? He was bringing him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He was teaching him to seek after the eternal things, to seek God's wisdom and understanding, and show the value of that. Now, based on that teaching that David gave to Solomon that is being passed on to us through Solomon, of course, ultimately from God. As we read those words, does it make sense that on that occasion when God appeared to Solomon and asked him what he would desire of him? And what did Solomon ask for? He asked for a wise and understanding heart. Well, where did he get that idea? It's not a surprise, is it? And God knew who he was asking that of. And he knew what Solomon had been grounded in, what he had been taught to value, and what he would be seeking after. David taught Solomon to seek God's understanding and wisdom. We need to seek that. We can see the importance of that and what that God's wisdom and understanding will do if we seek it and we don't forget it and we don't ever decline from it. We will be preserved, we will be guarded, and we will be promoted to God's honor and have that ornament of grace and a crown of glory one day. That's what will happen. That will be the reward for seeking after that, which is eternal in duration. The source of understanding, the source of anything eternal that's good like this, of course, is God. And in chapter 2 of this same book of Proverbs, so just going back two chapters, in verse 6, it says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So do we need to seek after it, after understanding? We do. And who do we seek it from? From God. Are we going to find it among men? Do we find it from a mixture of sources? Do we get some from God and some from man? Or is God the sole and exclusive provider and giver of his wisdom and understanding? What are we going to learn of God's heart and mind from man? In the case of what David was teaching his son Solomon, David wasn't giving his own wisdom there. He was teaching his son to seek after God's wisdom and understanding, to seek it from the Lord. And that's who we need to go to for this. So how do we seek for God's understanding from him? Well, part of the answer to that, a major part of that, is to understand, is for us to understand what God gives understanding to. And that is to his word. In Psalm 119 and verse 18, Psalm 119, and we want to read four different verses from this lengthy psalm here. Verse 18 is the first one we want to read. And it says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Are we going to get understanding from God ignoring his word? No, he's going to give us understanding based on our seeking him, but we have to seek his word that he's revealed to us here in the scriptures. And so he says that in verse 18, the psalmist is pleading with God to open his eyes, spiritually, obviously. He says that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. So was he seeking to understand God's teachings in his law? He was. And so in verse 104, Psalm 118, verse 104, he says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." So God is going to give us understanding to his word, his precepts, his law. That's what we have here in the scriptures. Verse 130. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And then verse 169, he says, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word." So we see that connection over and over again here in this particular psalm. Psalm 119, as we know, it's the longest single body of material, as that we would call a chapter, that's in all of the scriptures. I remember my mother, when I was very little, she taught me to... Now, if you have a Bible that's got all this stuff, all the non-scripture stuff in the front or back, it's going to mess this up. We'll mess up a lot of things. But anyway, if you just have a Bible that's just got God's word in it, and you go right to the middle, the very center, and open it up, you're going to be in Psalm 119 if you do it right. Pretty much, that's what will happen. So it's right in the middle of the Bible. It's very long. That can have the tendency to perhaps cause people to look at that volume there and just say, that's too much to read. Well, God's protecting his wisdom and understanding. And so if somebody doesn't really desire it, they're going to ignore all of that. But what do we find in pretty much every single verse of this lengthy chapter here in Psalm 119? 176 verses. And verse by verse, it has something about God's law in it. His law, his precepts, and all of those things that he is using to describe his word. We find that verse by verse. So the subject is the word of God in this particular psalm. Well, we need to have understanding of those words that God has given. So we have to seek God's understanding, seek it from him, but it's going to be very much directly connected to our study of his word. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 1, and this is the first six verses of the book of Proverbs, he says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David," so that connection between Solomon and David is made here in verse 1. He says, "King of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings." Well, here we see in those six verses that begin the book of Proverbs, the instruction and the words that we are to hear. Well, this is God's word, and we've got to listen to his words, his instruction, in order for us to gain in understanding. Let's look at the first six verses of the next chapter, Proverbs chapter 2. We read verse 6 a moment ago, but let's read from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." So whatever he's going to say after that, what's it based in? First of all, that we have to receive his words, and he says, "and hide my commandments with thee." If we're hiding his commandments with ourselves, what are we doing with his word when we hear it? Do we just hear it and then we go away and forget what we just heard or read? Or do we take it with us and we guard that? If something that's important in us that we want to hide it within ourselves, don't we value that greatly? And that's what God's word needs to be to us. It must be. So we have to listen to those words and hide those commandments with us. Verse 2, "so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." So we're studying about seeking understanding. He says we have to apply our heart to it. He says, "yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So we see again in verse 6, God is the source, but we notice also again the connection that is there between God providing that understanding and providing it to his word that we study and seek after. In chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 8, starting in verse 1 of this chapter. It says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice?" So when God presents teaching puts his wisdom and understanding in the very direct role as the teacher, we want to listen to this. And it says, "She stands in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors." Now, all those places that are named there in verses 2 and 3, where wisdom and understanding are crying from, what is notable about those places? The top of the high places, the way in the places of the paths, the gates and entry of the city, and the coming in at the doors. What's notable about all of those locations? That's where the people are, isn't it? And God's wisdom and understanding is crying out in these places where all the people are, calling to the attention of mankind. Hear this. And so in verse 4, he says, "Unto you, O men." So this is what God is calling out to mankind. Is he trying to get us to seek after his understanding? Is that something that is important to him? It is. And he's going to great efforts here to call upon the attention of all mankind living on the face of this earth and all these places. And think of what people are doing wherever they are, and what they value and what they're spending their time on, and how much of it is foolishness, if not utter wickedness. And how many people are looking at the things that are eternal and not seeking after the things of this world that are temporal? God is trying to get man's attention and quit loving and looking after and seeking after these things of this earth that only last for a very short time. Listen to what God has to say. He says, "Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O you simple, understand wisdom. And you fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination in my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold." Now, what choice does man make in those things? They go after the gold every time, don't they? But what is God saying? Don't do that. Here's where the true riches are, these eternal things, God's wisdom and understanding. He says, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength." And if we had more time, we would just keep going there. But chapter after chapter here in the book of Proverbs, we are shown the value of God's wisdom and the necessity of listening to God's words to seek after his understanding, from seeking after to know his word. In the book of Job, chapter 28 and verse 28, he shows us what is the beginning of this understanding in order for us to get it. And the fact that it is not found in the land of the living, that is, among men. Man is not the source of any of these eternal things, and that's not where we go to get God's understanding. Proverbs chapter 28, he asked the question in verse 12, "But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding?" Well, those are good questions, aren't they? I mean, that's what we're studying right now. Where do we go and how? Well, he tells us in verse 13, man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. So where are we going to find God's wisdom and understanding? And is it going to be of men in this world? We're not going to find it here. And he says, the depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. So we can't buy it with anything material. He says, it cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx, or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels or of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. So again, we see the value of it. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? So he's asking that again. He's told us where it isn't and how we don't get it, but where is it? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death saith, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. So who knows how to get it? The one who gives it. So who do we need to listen to as far as finding out how to seek and obtain that understanding and wisdom from him? We have to go to God. And it says in verse 24, for he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven. He made the weight for the winds, and he weighed the waters by measure when he made a decree for the rain and the way for the lightning of the thunder. Then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So if we're going to understand God and see, again, the connection with God's word, well, where do we find out where do we learn his fear? Where do we find out what is good and evil from? Who's going to teach us those things? Where do we go for the source of that? That's from God's word. We have to go to his word to learn the fear of the Lord. We have to go to his word to learn what is good to seek after and what is evil to depart from. And that, if we will do that and we will seek at that source from God's word, we will be able to get that understanding. We all remember Psalm 34, verse 11, come and I hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. God teaches us that. It's in his word. It is not among men or in the land of the living. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, this is not something that's only taught in the Old Testament and books like Job and Psalms and Proverbs. It's throughout God's word. We also see it in the New Testament, and we just want to glance at one verse here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, where he says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Who gives it? The Lord. What do we have to do in order to get that from him? How do we seek it? Consider what I say, he says. Do we have to go to God's word and study his word and seek from his word diligently? And then to follow after that, that's what God says, and that's what the source is. God does have conditions for it, because there are, I guess there's probably less and less that do this, but there are still some that read a lot from the Bible, but don't understand it. So is it merely by reading it a guarantee that we're going to understand? Or is it more than just reading the words? We have to hear the words, but there's more to it than that. There's something that has to be right about our hearts as we do search the scriptures. Now, the ultimate foundation is that we are seeking to live for and to glorify our God who made us, to glorify him as God. In Romans chapter 1, of course, this is a passage that we were using really as the basis for that lengthy study of several months that we went through on Wednesday nights recently. about Christian evidences and looking at all the evidence that God has given in the creation for his existence. And that God is the eternally powerful creator of all things, and he has demonstrated that from these things that are made. Well, these verses here in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18, do indeed emphasize that fact. But who is God's wrath revealed against? In verse 18, Romans 1, verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So what is the basis of all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men? And there's a lot of that. What's the basis of it? He says they hold the truth in unrighteousness. What truth? We might say truth in general, but there's a particular truth that he's speaking of here and that he goes on to define. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God, well, there's the truth he's speaking of that we're holding, that which may be known of God. Something about God, he says, is manifest in them. Well, how are we holding it? It's been revealed to us. Something about God, that which may be known of God, is manifest in them. In whom? Man. Is this something just a scarce few know about? Or is there something about God that he's made known to everybody? All mankind. There is. What about God has been revealed to all mankind, and how did he reveal it? Well, in verse 20, it says, "For the invisible things of him." So that which may be known of God are these invisible things of him. So there's a little bit more clue about this truth that we're all holding. How did we get to hold it? Well, God revealed it to us. How? He says, "The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse." So now he defines it precisely, his eternal power and Godhead, which is literally his divinity, his godness. His eternal power and godness, the fact that he is the eternally powerful God and creator of all things, by the creation he has made that known to all mankind. So that truth, that we have an eternally powerful creator, is a truth that we're all holding because God has made that known to us from the creation. No one is exempt from that, and that's why he says they're without excuse. Nobody can say they didn't know that. No man can say he did not know that he had a creator that he needed to seek after, which is the point. So there's no excuse. We all know there's a great, eternally powerful God who made all of this. And we don't have an excuse for not what? Well, verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, so did they know? They knew. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And we pointed out before that literally this is alongside of, not when it says more than, it's with the Greek preposition there and the construction of that. It's alongside of. They worship and serve the creature, which is the creation, alongside of the Creator. Can't do both. We can't serve two masters. So knowing that we have an eternally powerful God who made us, who should we live for? Who should we seek and live for exclusively? The one who made us. That's glorifying him as God. Now, are we going to understand? Is God going to give us understanding if we read the words that he has given in Scripture, but we're not willing to live for him who made us? Is he going to give us understanding of that? We can read all day. We can read all day today and tomorrow and keep reading day after day after day. And until we have decided we're going to glorify him as God, that we're going to seek him, to live for him, we're not going to understand. That will be, he says, their foolish heart is darkened. We will remain dark and have no light until we glorify God as God. So that's the ultimate foundation to be able to understand, for God to give that to us. And we all must do that and continue to do that. We also have to seek diligently for God's understanding by studying his word diligently. Well, obviously, if we're going to glorify God as God, we're not going to be just tinkering around with or playing around with reading a little bit from his word here or there. That's not what someone who is seeking after their creator to glorify him as their God is going to be doing. If we're going to glorify him as God, then how are we going to be seeking after him? Well, we read it a little while ago in Proverbs chapter 2, when we were reading from verses 1 through 6. He said in verse 4, "If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." In order to understand, we have to seek in that manner. Well, what will happen with, if somebody told anybody out there that there was, that somewhere on their property, that some records show there may be some treasure that's buried there on your property. Anybody that was told that, what are they going to be doing? There's going to be a giant hole in the ground in no time. And we know that. If somebody had that idea that there might be some material treasure on their property, they're going to set everything aside, and they're going to give themselves fully to that endeavor to go get it. Well, what is God's wisdom and understanding compared to any material treasure? It's not worthy to be compared, he said. And how are we going to seek after God's understanding and wisdom? He says to seek it as for silver and hid treasure. Well, we should understand that analogy and the kind of effort that's going to go into that. Well, that needs to be what our manner of seeking after God and to understand his will is. Back in the book of Proverbs, we saw chapter 4, we read from chapter 4 also a little while ago. But just to remind ourselves from what he said in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1, that chapter that begins with those words from Solomon. He says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to know understanding." So we've got to seek after it. We've got to attend to know it, to listen to it. Proverbs chapter 5 in verse 1, he says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding." We see this over and over again, especially in this book, and that God's word is the source that we need to seek it from, but we need to seek that diligently. Proverbs 23:23, he says, "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 5, he says, "Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things." How much do we need to seek him? And we're promised that in Matthew 7 and verses 7 through 11. "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Does God promise to give us the understanding that we're seeking after if we are seeking diligently with that heart to glorify him as God, so we can learn his will because our earnest desire is to know and do all of his will? If we're going to glorify God as God, we're going to desire to know his will, and it's only revealed in this one source here in this book. That's what makes it the book. It's the only book like it. This is the only book that contains the revelation of the eternally powerful creator to his creation that he made in his image, to mankind. This is it. And here is all that our Creator has to say to us. We might think it's a big book, but how much is it? Is this? Are we capable of reading through this? And how many times in a lifetime? We need to be diligently seeking to know, and we can learn this. We can learn what's in it. But we're not going to learn what's in it without the effort to do so, without seeking that. Well, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, what does he say about faith and how much we need to be seeking God, and in what manner that we need to be seeking him? I think we're all familiar with Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but let's look at that one more time. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's a compound word in Greek. It's separated out into separate words in English, diligently seek, but that is not the regular word for seek there in Greek. So it's an accurate translation of it. It has a prefix of emphasis. We are to diligently seek him. He's going to reward those who diligently seek him. Is he going to reward those who really aren't very diligent about it? It's not going to be the same. He doesn't have the same promise. So we need to diligently seek him and seek after his understanding as for silver and hid treasure. As we saw also in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3, we need to ask him for it. Same thing that we also see in Matthew 7, 7 through 11. What do we have to do to find? We have to seek. What do we have to do to have that given? We have to ask. And so that is a condition. He says for us to lift up our voice for it. Well, who is the source of it? God. Do we need to ask him for it? And if we study from his word, but we don't ask for his help and to give us understanding as we study from it, what are our chances? But if we do what he says and we diligently seek him here, and then we're asking him, pleading with him to give us that understanding, and we're doing so with all of our heart, is he going to be inclined to hear our request and to give us his understanding and wisdom as we study from his word? That's his desire to do that. And in James chapter 1, verse 5, this is a promise of God. And as such, when God promises something, is there room to doubt when we ask him? We're asking here if we're meeting God's conditions. Now, if we're not seeking diligently, if we're not asking from him, then we're not meeting his conditions. But if we are, and we do ask for him, when we are diligently and sincerely seeking to glorify him as God, and we go to his word diligently seeking to find his will there, are we in doubt about whether God is going to give us our request that we will understand more of his will? Well, he says this in James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Is that a promise? He says he will give it. Well, since he's promised it, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've heard the promise in his word. Do we believe it? If we believe it, then what are we going to do? We studied about those giants recently. You remember that? And God promised he was going to deliver all of Israel's enemies into their hands, including those giants. How many of the Israelites didn't believe that? And we have the notable ones who did, Joshua and Caleb and Jonathan and David. And they believed what God said. Did they have any hesitancy? Was there any fear there in going and doing what God told them to do when he gave them the command with his promise? There was no doubt. What about us in this? And when we are seeking to have more of God's wisdom and understanding, and he says, if we ask, he will give it. Well, that's why we are to ask. He says in verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we can't be double-minded about that. We have to believe without doubt that God is going to fulfill his promise, and he's going to give us what we have asked of him. Now, along with that, if we've got deceit from the source, is he going to fulfill all that? If we're reading from Scripture and then we're also seeking from man and listening to the wisdom of men, no. Another part of that condition and seeking after his wisdom and understanding from his word is that we're going to forsake our own understanding. And he tells us in Proverbs 3 and verse 5 not to lean on our own understanding. We need to trust the Lord. Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Well, if I shouldn't lean to my own understanding, should you lean to my understanding? I shouldn't lean to it, and you shouldn't lean to it either. And you shouldn't lean to yours, and I shouldn't lean to yours. So what does that mean? We shouldn't lean to any man's understanding, our own or anybody else's. He said that his wisdom and understanding is not found in the land of the living. It is God that knows the way thereof. It is from him. So we can't listen to the wisdom of men. We've got to turn our ears away from that. Otherwise, we're going to be deceived. If we're listening to men, and we're inundated with opportunities to do that, it's all around us, and the devil's trying to find many ways for us to do that. But there's lots of preachers on the TV and the radio, do we go to that and listen to that? Well, if we are, we're not being one of his sheep. In John 10, 1 through 5, what do Christ's sheep do? What does any sheep do with the voice of a stranger? They're going to flee. And when we're hearing any words other than God's word, what are we going to do? We're going to run. There's only one voice that we're going to listen to, and that's the voice of our master. And we need to forsake all others and flee from the wisdom of man and man's understanding. We also have to be willing to receive correction, and we're going to close in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 6 through 9, because we're not going to grow in understanding. God's not going to give that to us if we're not willing to receive his correction. Well, if we already are everything that we need to be, are we going to listen to anything that's going to tell us to be something more than what we are? If we're proud and we're not going to be corrected, we're not going to listen to anything that's different than what we already think. What's the point of us even going to the scriptures then? We're not going to listen to it. So we have to be humble and receive correction from the Lord in his word. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. He says, forsake the foolish and live, go in the way of understanding. This is the road, the pathway of understanding. There is a road to it. And what do we have to do? What is his condition here? He says, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We have to be willing to receive correction. God's word is rebuking us, as we see in James 1, 22 through 25. It's that spiritual mirror that we look into, and a mirror, its sole purpose is to correct us, to tell us what's wrong that we need to fix. And we need to do that with the mirror of God's word. We need to go there with the intent of finding out what's wrong with us, what we need to change, what we need to do better. And then when we seek diligently from these scriptures, and then when those words of God are telling us, here's something we've been doing that we should not be doing that anymore, something we're not doing we need to do, something we need to do better. If we're not willing to say that's right and then change, if we don't have that kind of humility where we're going to listen to and receive that correction, we're not walking in the way of understanding. That pathway of understanding requires that humility on our part, that we're going to submit ourselves to listen to the correction and rebukes that come from God and His Word. That's also what He tells us all Scripture is given for. And if we want to understand the actual purpose of all the things that God has said to us, which of course we should, in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, how many of those things hurt? Most of them do. And he says, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, that's when we've grown in his understanding and wisdom. But that's only going to come when we receive that correction from his word. At this time, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to anyone that is here that needs to obey the gospel of Christ. This is an opportunity for you to come forward and make that known and repent and be baptized in his name for the remission of your sins. Or if you're a member of the Lord's body and you've gone astray from him and need to return, need to repent, or need the prayers of the church, we want to encourage anyone that is subject to his invitation tonight to come and to do so while we stand together and sing.